It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
And welcome to Big Dumb Picture Show, the podcast where I bring on a bunch of other comedians, musicians, and who knows what else, and we talk about movies. Got a real fun panel today. I'm going to go around and introduce everybody. We have my friend Jackie Shreves.
Hey, I am Jackie Shreves. I perform pretty regularly at Whiskey Bear, and that's how I know Dustin.
Bam, there it is. Up next, we unfortunately have Peter Brick.
Yeah, I'm Peter Brick. I'm a regular on Whiskey Bear.
Oh, all right. Oh, and original, too.
Hi, no, I'm sorry.
You should be. And finally, we've got my good friend and middle Pokemon evolution version of me, Tom Plute.
Hey, I am Tom Plute, and I do funny things on stage sometimes, but mostly get booed.
Have you ever actually been booed?
No, I haven't.
We're going to have to change that.
Just mostly silence. Indifference? I get indifference.
Oh, man, indifference is worse than yeah, booing. Yeah,
yeah. At least I get a reaction out of people with booing, but negative silence feedback is much worse.
Well, there you go.
Still feedback.
We just finished watching a movie. The movie we watched today was Green Room, a 2016 release that's about a punk band who witnesses a murder and gets held hostage in a Nazi skinhead bar in the backwoods of Oregon. Basically, every punk band's nightmare, really. I think
being trapped in Oregon?
Yeah. This movie's directed, written by Jeremy Saulnier, who before this did a film called Blue Ruin, which is also kind of a real gritty indie thriller in the same vein. Before that, his very first film was a movie called Murder Party, which I have not seen yet. But after having seen everything he's done, I definitely want to check it out. In this film, of course, we got stars like Anton Yelchin, who RIP, unfortunately, passed away last year. Aaliyah Shawkat, maybe, from Arrested Development. And the big pull is Patrick Stewart as a Nazi skinhead leader who, man, what an uncomfortable character to watch the beloved Captain Picard to see Professor X just spewing hate and bile left and right. to literally just see Professor X turn into Magneto, basically. So I saw this last year when it came out. I went to the theaters. This honestly, along with probably 10 Cloverfield Lane and The Nice Guys, was in my top three movies of last year. It's very intense. It's very minimal, made on a fairly meager budget. But it's just very claustrophobic, and the movie fucking works. And I really love movies like this where there's not a lot of kind of flash and bang to it. And things like they happen so goddamn quickly. They escalate very quickly.
quickly.
Yeah, 1 second you're just there and they're talking to Patrick Stewart through the door. The next, an overweight Nazi has been disemboweled with a box cutter. So, man, it is a time. Now, you guys have never seen this movie somehow, so of course we've got to make the rounds, and I have to ask, we'll start with Jackie, how have you not seen this?
Well, before I say that, I did want to say in defense, you said that Patrick Stewart turned into Magneto. Magneto was actually Jewish and taken advantage of by the Nazis, so he's worse than Magneto.
That's a fair point. That's a very good point. That is a good point.
But I had not heard of this movie until you said we were going to watch it, which is weird. I usually watch a lot of thriller movies. I guess this one just kind of missed my radar somehow. So that's how I haven't watched it. Literally didn't know it was a movie.
I'm about to say, you saw a lot of other indie stuff last year. We were watching the trailers. You'd seen Swiss Army Man and The Witch.
And The Witch and The Lobster. Those were like three films that were right before it. I don't know. This one just didn't come up for me.
I think indie films wise, I think you and I just saw everything that the other didn't. I think that's how that worked out. All right. Peter, how have you not seen this?
I knew about the movie. I didn't want to see it because it looked terrifying and super tense. And I'm...
You were so scared during the movie. I kept looking at you and you were like balled up like a kitten.
Yeah. Peter was real nervous.
I don't like it. Some of these movies like this, it feels like I'm just sitting in the dentist's chair for like however long the movie is, an hour and a half. And I'm thinking, why did I pay money just to feel this tense?
I don't need a panic attack.
Yeah, so this is not a movie I would normally watch, but I did enjoy it.
Well, good. So I'm curious, you don't like movies like this. What do you think is the scariest movie or the movie that's made you, like, put you on edge like this? What movie has done that? What's the worst offender for Peter Brick?
Oh, it's been a while. This definitely is at the top. I'd have to say, you know, it's not there. It's not at the top of my head. This is kind of, in terms of all the mostly gory movies that I've seen or like that were gruesome like this have been comedic. So
you haven't watched like any of the Saw movies? Or?
No, I don't go for that usually,
so,
no.
So comedic. Like what? What movies are you talking about?
Like Shaun of the Dead,
okay,
or Hot Fuzz?
Gotcha.
Hot Fuzz is gory?
You don't remember that?
What Peter's saying.
It's got multiple instances. Okay. It's got crushed heads.
They dropped the church parapet on the on the reporter.
Okay,
yeah,
we have different levels of what is gory.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it definitely wasn't on the level of Shaun of the Dead.
So it's just Edgar Wright movies that make you uncomfortable.
Well, I think those are the only ones that he watches.
So Edgar Wright movies, that's kind of where you draw the line. And Green Room almost pushed all those memories out of your brain.
Yeah, or that are like war movies. And
okay.
But those can be a little more fantastical at times, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And then this was just tense. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I think, too, there's something to be said. I think that the movie is so grounded in realism. Like, it's not, like, it's a gory film for sure, but, like, it's not over the top, like somebody getting decapitated with a baseball bat or some goofy shit. Like, it's like, oh, yeah, nope, that looks like a dude whose throat was attacked by a fucking attack dog. Like,
yeah, that looks about right.
Yeah. Yeah, what is that? Some
forensically
some ground chuck? Yeah. Yep. Nope.
Yeah.
That's a chewed dog throat.
Yeah, that'd be about the expected result.
Fair enough. All right. Tommy P.
Yeah.
How have you not seen this?
Well, I don't see a lot of movies, and it's not on Netflix, and it's not a Star Wars, so so I haven't seen it.
Interesting.
I did hear about it though.
Yeah.
I did know it was a movie before coming over here and that it had Patrick Stewart in it.
That's fair. Well, you mentioned when I told you what we were watching that you'd wanted to see it. Like, I guess with stuff like this, what's the make or break for you? Like,
everything's break. I don't see anything. I wanted to see it, and I figured, you know, it'll be on Netflix or HBO at some point, so I'd watch it then, but it hasn't gotten there yet, so I haven't seen it.
But making the effort, supporting the movie's box office. You're part of the problem, Tom.
I am. I'm very alone, and it's very uncomfortable to go to the movies by myself, so...
I've got a membership, buddy. Don't like? I'll go to the movies with you.
Would somebody give me a hug?
Yeah, buddy.
You know I'll give you a hug.
Yeah.
I'm a hugger. So, just out of curiosity then, what's the last movie you saw in the theaters that wasn't a Star Wars?
Well, the last movie I did see in the theaters was Star Wars. But,
I said that wasn't a Star Wars. I know that, you fucking saw Star Wars.
Before that, I can't even remember. I think I saw the new Harry. I did see the new Harry Potter. The Fantastic Beasts.
Oh, okay. Wow. You said new Harry Potter, and I was like, that was 7 years ago. You haven't been to the movies in 7 years? I find that hard to believe.
And before, I think I saw Finding Dory on a date one time.
Okay.
I think that was the last movie that wasn't a Star Wars that I saw, and that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was last summer, right?
Was it?
It was like June of last year.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Okay. All right. Well, now that we know why you guys haven't seen it, let's get into the movie itself. Thoughts?
I liked it a lot, but it was very tense.
Oh, yeah.
It was very uncomfortable throughout the whole thing. For sure. Not as uncomfortable as Peter. But
yeah. Not fetal position.
Yeah.
No, Tom was very well composed throughout, which was impressive.
Thank you.
I really liked it. What I am a fan of in, like, the, I guess, indie-ish thriller movies that have come out is, unlike more mainstream ones, they aren't really, like, they don't dance around killing someone. Like, we saw multiple people die very quickly.
Oh, yeah.
Intense.
Yeah, that.
It's intense and quick, yeah.
No, yeah, that kicked off really quick, and I was very surprised. It just happened instantly. Like, yeah. Oh, you're dead now. Like a real life situation.
Yeah. Well, in the space of 2 minutes, half the band is dead.
Yeah. They die very quickly. And it went from like that, them breaking that guy's arm. That would be like the grossest scene in the movie. And then it goes way downhill from there.
Shotgun in the face.
Oh, that was brutal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. I definitely, on that note, like it, this movie just gets to it. And it's like a 95 minute runtime. And that's nice, because I feel like so many movies, especially comedies lately, feel like they have to be over 2 hours long. And no, Judd Apatow, they don't. Like they fucking don't. Like, and I hate when movies puff up all this extra stuff. Actually, one of the cool things I like is right before they go out, after Anton Yelchin's character gets his arm cut, when he gives him back the gun, he's sitting there like, and he starts telling that paintball story, and then the drummer Reese literally stops and was like, "Hey man, we don't have time for this. We have to go."
Yeah.
I was like, "Good. That's if I were in this situation, I wouldn't listen to that fucking story."
Right? Yeah. Like, shut up, dude. Let's go.
Yeah.
Where people are dying.
It's like, yeah, this sounds really interesting. I'm going to ask you to hold on that.
Yeah. Pump the brakes. You can tell us in the van drive back to Virginia. Good. There's some solid performances in this movie. Obviously, Aaliyah Shawkat and Anton Yelchin are recognizable faces and names. Patrick Stewart as well. I don't know that I've seen the other two band members than anything, at least nothing that I can immediately recall. But one of the things I found out while we were watching this is the guy that plays the Nazi Daniel, the one that gets the shotgun,
yeah.
Right behind the bar, that is the guy that played Steven Stills in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, yeah. the front man of Sex Bob-omb.
Oh.
And I was sitting, I remember seeing in the theater, I was like, this guy looks fucking familiar. And then like I looked it up and I saw the name. It was Mark Webber's the actor. It's like, I know I've heard this name before. And then like I pull up his Wikipedia page, and immediately like the first thing I was like, he's best known for Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I was like, who the fuck? Oh, he's the singer, he's the talent, that makes sense. So it's fun seeing people pop up and stuff when you only know him for one thing. And it's, I guess it's interesting too, because like these, I looked through some of his films, and these look to be like the two things that I was most familiar with. So like, to have such kind of an interesting like set of film credits, or you know, even in the case of Patrick Stewart, it's like, hey, this guy was Captain Picard, Professor Xavier in X-Men, now he's a Nazi, like he's a neo-Nazi leader who owns a bar, small business owner,
heroin dealer.
Yes. Tribute to the community. Yeah, just giving back. So I guess in terms of the violence, we kind of talked about this a little. When you guys say it's tense, is it the violence that did it? Was it like just the situation of the whole thing? Like, what specifically about this movie is it that like kind of put you on edge, like kind of tensed you up?
For me, it was the realness of the situation.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire movie, I'm just thinking, what if this was me in this exact same scenario?
Yeah.
Like, how well would I do? How would I fare?
You would be the first one dead.
Yeah, probably. Probably. I'd stick my arm out through the door and just like, okay, here's the gun. Don't cut it. You know, just it, in terms of like how I would act and react in that, it's an unnerving line of thought.
I think the suddenness of it too, like just how quickly it happens, mm-hmm. it just like throws you off. And it makes things very tense.
And literally, if they hadn't left their phone in the green room, they would have all gotten out of there just fine.
Yeah. Right?
And so like that one little thing just
That fucks poor them. Punk band.
No, I see. the thing for me is, I think it should have stopped like way before that, when the bookie, the guy with the mohawk that they're talking to, is like, yeah, okay, I've got a gig lined up for you. Now, most of it's like the crowd is pretty alt-right.
Yeah,
like,
he does say that.
Militant extremists. It's like,
yeah, they could have just been like, no, we're going to go home. That's fine.
Yeah, yeah, let's go back.
Credits roll.
You know, we're not 10 minutes into the too movie. Invested in this tour.
That's the thing. Like, especially, I think Tom can kind of contribute to this as well. Like, being people who played music before we ever did comedy, I never got to a point where my band was traveling around and really doing gigs like this. But comedy, there have been plenty of places that I have played where it would not surprise me to run into at least the same kind of people in those spaces. Right. So like this is a nightmare, like a very real nightmare on a different level for me. It's the reason that I even if I was getting booked for certain gigs from certain people who booked them in certain parts of the rural areas of the state, I would not take those gigs anymore.
Right? I'm very nervous about going on tour now.
Yeah.
I'm in Alabama in 2 weeks. I'm not
What part of Alabama?
Huntsville.
Huntsville's pretty dope.
All right. I've never been to Alabama.
Who set you up in Huntsville? Nervous.
What?
Who set you up in Huntsville?
Oh, God.
Was it that guy? It was that guy, wasn't it?
Mohawk lost his permit for the gig that he promised.
Oh God, yeah. this is not going well. Well, cancel that date.
Well, me and Peter are going to have a great time in Huntsville because we're dealing with a personal friend, not some guy I met.
Yeah.
So I guess I'll miss you.
Yeah, it was nice.
I'll say something real nice at your funeral. Tom, he died doing what he loved, being nervous and afraid he was going to get murdered on stage.
That is me. I do that a lot.
Classic Tommy P. I think too, like the other thing, like when you're traveling, especially having lost money on gigs like I have doing some of those shitty comedy shows early on, like they were gonna get $350, which that's more than I've made for a single show of comedy ever. So I can certainly understand why they would say, oh, this is a Nazi bar. Yeah, but we need gas money to get home. True. So like,
yeah, I can see it.
I'll do a Nazi bar for sure.
Because it's literally it's either
popping up everywhere now too. So
yeah, the short north is really changing.
Yeah. Just keep your phone on you at all. Yeah.
And I think too, especially like again with more of the similarities like between traveling on the road for comedy and music, is there having toured 4 or 5 times now, I've run into the situation where the night, like the week of, or even the night of, I've had venues fall out and like had to try and reschedule some last minute gig that was not good.
Yeah.
So it's kind of cool just like drawing these parallels between what some of us do. But also, hopefully, like, being to the point where we would never have to take a gig at a fucking Nazi bar in the backwoods of Oregon.
Yeah, I don't know how you'd connect with that audience.
Yeah, who books that room, though? yeah, I would like to contact them. I could use $300.
Like, who would play well there?
Comedian?
Oh, let's not. No.
I personally know some folks that would do great at those places.
Uh-huh. I can think of 2 or 3.
Yeah.
Well, I meant just more like broad appeal. Like, do you have to be topical? Like, how political can you get?
Are you thinking about what set list you're going
to
do?
Peter, are you asking us to book you at a Nazi bar?
I just want to, like, see how the material, like, maybe they like Velociraptors. I don't know.
If there's any Nazis listening to this podcast, it's peterbrigg@gmail.com. Send them your booking request.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus.
Is that your email? If not, you should open that account.
Do you want to?
What was it again?
peterbrigg@gmail.com. It's very easy. Kyle, do you know what Gmail is? I know you.
No,
with your,
no.
I've seen what technology you carry around with you. You might not know what that is.
This is basically a sundial compared compared to
nobody on the podcast can see that phone.
I'm holding up a flip phone with a keyboard on it. It's the phone I use currently.
It's from 2004.
It's what most people in the drug business refer to as a burner phone. Yeah.
I don't, but this is the one. This is the only one I have, though, so I can't burn it.
You don't actually burn them.
Oh,
you know that, right?
You don't like physically light them on fire. It's a non-traceable number with no paper trail, so you can set up drug deals.
Yeah, but you throw it away, right?
Come on, Peter, don't you know the drug dealing industry?
Yeah, you throw it away, but. Boy.
I've
so much to teach you about heroin.
We're learning a lot about Peter Brick today.
ignorant Peter Brick.
Yeah. Doesn't know anything about the drug trade. Not above doing a Nazi gig.
But movies make him nervous.
You know, I think I can make him see the light, you know, just with my...
Oh, you're going to turn these Nazis around?
Yeah, I'm going to turn them around. I'm going to flip them.
You're totally getting murdered.
Whatever the opposite of a Nazi is.
It's me, Peter Brick. A little bit about myself. I love Toy Story 2. I know that's an unpopular opinion.
I really do. I really love...
God damn it.
I think it's mostly because there's a character in there named Stinky Pete.
Is that what you were called in middle school?
Old Stinky Pete Brick.
Yeah. But yeah, there's so many comparisons to be drawn between Toy Story 2 and Green Room.
Oh, no. I can't believe you made the connection.
I mean, they're trapped in that room they don't want to be in with that guy with the glasses.
No, and... yeah, with Wayne Knight.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, see, Wayne.
In Toy Story 3, they are also trapped in a room they don't want to be in. So I was thinking of the wrong movie.
Well, in Toy Story 1, for like the third act, they're trapped in a room they don't want to be in. Man, the Toy Stories are really reaching now that I think about it.
Oh, man. Are they going to do a fourth?
I think.
Probably.
I think they are.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on a limb and say they're probably not going to do a second Green Room, though.
Yeah. No.
No, but the two main characters are still alive. Like, maybe.
Not in real life, though.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
I forgot.
He did.
Which is a huge bummer.
Because
he's so fucking good in this movie.
Yeah, he is.
And he's actually a pretty solid Chekhov, too.
Yeah.
What
are they going to do in the Star Trek movie now?
Maybe they just won't make it anymore.
That'd be nice. Just quit ruining the franchise, please.
I mean, the last one was about as good as they were going to get.
How are the Beastie Boys going to make money, though?
Oh, boy.
They'll be fine. That'll be fine.
I feel like I sidetracked us in a major way from Green Room.
Toy Story.
I mean, there are worse places to get sidetracked too,
like Nazi bars.
Yeah, yeah. There we go. Peter Brick bringing us full circle.
Hey-o.
Back to the conversation. Well, let's get into some of the other stuff. Patrick Stewart saying the N-word, guys. How about it?
So surprising.
I feel like they just, like, they had to get the obligatory, like, bomb in there.
I mean, they are Nazis living in the backwoods of the Pacific Northwest.
It's like, if somebody doesn't say it, even if they're, like, reaching and, like, just tossing it in there, it's like, they're not believable.
Yeah. I admire their restraint.
Yeah, not using it a whole bunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
I don't know what was more shocking was the violence or him dropping an N-bomb in there. It was really...
Well, it's so, like, it's so quick, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like, so, like, it doesn't... Like,
they don't emphasize it. There's not, like, a pause afterwards.
There's literally, there's that, and then at one point, one of the Nazis calls Anton Yelchin a faggot. Like, that's the only hate speech that's actually spoken, like, through the movie.
Yeah, this wasn't, like, Pulp Fiction or Hateful Eight.
Yeah. So, like, I don't know. There's no way that I'm going to say this without sounding weird, but it's refreshing to see Nazis portrayed without saying such hateful things.
Oh, boy. I'm
taking a date. Hold on.
Dustin defends Nazis.
Hold on.
Is that the title of this podcast?
No. We're swinging right here. No. I do not agree with them at all, but I think it was a huge testament to Jeremy Saulnier, the writer and the director, that he was able to write a script around this. At no point do we forget that they're Nazis.
Yeah, yeah. We
like,
well, probably with all the murder.
Yeah, they really sold us on.
And
it.
Even there's only almost one moment in the film where I almost feel sympathy, and it's right at the end when that poor dog walks up and like lays down by his dead master.
Yeah,
and then I was like, oh no, that guy's a Nazi. Nope, yeah. Nope, no sympathy.
I just felt sorry for the dog.
Well, know? sure, yeah. The dog's got
the dog that just ripped out two people's throats.
He didn't know.
I was really convinced that the dog was gonna make a comeback as like the valiant hero of the movie, and because you just kept seeing him walking around.
They kept showing shots of him. For whatever reason, that he was just out in the woods.
But Tom, what were you saying that when the dog first walks off from the?
I thought he was going to turn into Homeward Bound. You just see the dog in the woods. It's like, I'm going to make my way home.
Oh no!
Starts talking to a cat.
And they find out that the Nazi's dog is Michael J. Fox.
Oh no!
Chance.
He's like, this movie took a weird turn.
Oh man, talking dogs.
What was the golden retriever's name?
Shadow. Shadow, yeah. Chance, and Sassy. Aww.
Worst.
Boy, Shadow.
Worst name for a golden retriever. Yeah,
it is. But really,
it's a pretty cool name, though.
Yeah,
it's a cool name, but a different breed of dog, maybe.
Yeah, come on.
Like a black lab.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Why does it got to be a black lab? Damn it. Wow, Tom.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm really backed into a corner.
Swung on and missed. Tom Plute. No, that would have been such a rat.
Can we edit out me being racist?
Nope. That stays in. That's what I'm going to promote this episode on.
Technically, that's not racist.
Dustin defends Nazis and Tom's it's closet racist.
I didn't defend Nazis. I commended the writer on conveying that the Nazis were Nazis without excessive use of racial slurs. There's a difference.
This feels edgy.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of a more inappropriate tonal shift that could have happened in the movie, aside from the dog coming back and rescuing them at the very end. That would have been so fucking over the top.
Yeah, what?
What was the dog's name? Did they ever say the dog's name?
No.
If they did, I didn't catch it.
Yeah.
They might have said it in like German. They were talking German.
Yeah, all his commands were in German. So yeah, he probably had a German.
But literally the one command, because he just kept yelling "Voss" over and over
his head.
It's like, oh man, I don't even know what that word means, but it doesn't sound. It sounds angry. It sounds angry, like the German language in its entirety does for the most part. It
sounds aggressive.
It's very aggressive.
Yeah,
the German language is just very aggressive, like the most aggressive combination of vowels and consonants you can have.
Yeah.
I want to know if they actually tested if feedback actually bothers dogs. If like they would literally walk away. Because that dog walked a long time to get away from that feedback.
Well, the dog was also doped up too.
Oh.
Because that was the dog that got injected. What I assume was probably adrenaline or something. Because like he said something to the effect of like this will keep him alive for another hour. Basically. So, oh man. Yeah. Fuck. He went back to his master's arms to die.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jeez. Oh boy.
Yeah, no, I think the feedback definitely would have worked on dogs. I mean,
dogs
have way
very
more sensitive hearing.
Absolutely.
And if I hear feedback, I freak out.
Yeah. Peter tucks his tail between his legs and scurries out of the open mic on all fours.
Oh no.
But yeah, the feedback thing. Oh, absolutely.
Worst part of the movie.
Oh, and learning that a mic stand is a pretty good weapon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah.
I use that.
Especially those ones with the hard, like the circular base. Oh, yeah, those will fuck you up.
That'll really come in handy at our gig at the Nazi bars. Yeah.
Which you
keep your phone on you and keep a mic stand around you at all times for weapons.
You can catch us in Knoxville, Tennessee at the Nazi bar.
It's just called that. It's weird.
Yeah, and it's like they're not even trying to hide it anymore. Thanks a lot, Mr. President.
Oh, womp, womp.
Some of the other things, too, that are... I don't know necessarily... I like just how thorough like the whole movie is, because I feel like there's a lot of things that they could just throw away, one of them being the whole thread with the band Cowcatcher, with the dude that kills the girl. Because we were getting towards the end of the movie, and I'd only saw this once last year, And I was, I was like, wait, fuck, does the band get away with it? Because that would be fucking bullshit. But then, of course, we saw them later doped up towards the end. I was kind of disappointed that the guy, Worm, the character, I was kind of disappointed he wasn't in it more than he was, because that dude's fucking scary.
Yeah.
Like, he's a, that's a sinister fucking dude.
Yeah, he kind of just walks out and leaves.
Yeah.
And then is not in the rest of the movie.
Yeah, and then he dies from doing some bad dope while he's eating his cereal and watching cartoons or whatever.
I like two of those things.
Heroin and cereal.
classic brick. Classic brick. Well,
I see your track marks, Peter.
No, I really like Tom and Jerry.
So
I don't do drugs. I feel like I should announce that on this podcast. No, it's too late.
Nobody believes you.
Comedian / drug addict.
Heroin fiend.
/ I don't want to say Nazi comic because it implies you share their beliefs, but I guess I really don't. Above performing for them.
For the sake of
Nazi
flipping them.
Nazi entertainer.
No, I'm going to bring them to the light side, you guys.
Oh my gosh.
Oh boy.
I'm almost afraid to talk because I feel like I'm the only one who has yet escaped unscathed by this conversation.
We're all going down with this.
What are you
podcast.
Talking about? I'm fine. I defended myself.
When we're big and famous someday, this is going to like resurface and just ruin us.
Look, man, if people got ruined by the things they said on podcasts, every comedian would just be done.
Oh, that's a good point.
It's very true.
Yeah.
But when I'm running for mayor.
When you're running for public office. No, go ahead, Jackie. What do you got to say?
Yeah.
I was going to mention I was pleased with this movie and how I always get nervous watching horror or thriller movies that have women in them because I'm like, they're gonna go to sexual violence at some point.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't watch Don't Breathe, but I read like the plot summary of it because I heard it might make you uncomfortable, and I was like, oof, they went away that they did not have to go.
Yep.
So I was very happy, even though the first victim of the movie is a woman, they don't really go like the sexual violence route, even when a big guy is attacking a younger woman.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's so nice. You don't have to do it in horror movies. Just don't do it.
Don't have to do it in any movies.
Exactly. Yeah. You just leave it out.
Yeah. You hear that? Game of Thrones?
Oh, boy. Taking shots at Game of Thrones.
Look, man, these last two seasons have been complete fucking bullshit. I'm not afraid anymore.
Oh, boy.
What's the series going to do? Get good again?
The last battle was pretty cool.
It was okay.
Yeah.
It was okay. We get it. Ramsay Bolton's a sociopath. Who fucking cares?
That was pretty cool, though.
Oh boy. Oh brother. Oh brother. God damn it. All right. Well, let's move into a little segment we call Casting Call.
Yeah.
I came up with this segment. I love watching movies about bands, whether it's something more serious like this, whether it's something kind of saccharine and bullshit like Almost Famous, or something funny like this is Spinal Tap. And one of my favorite movies that revolves around a band is Rock and Roll High School, which very famously features the Ramones. And originally the band wasn't going to be the Ramones. They were going to go with Cheap Trick for the movie, and I don't know how that movie would have been good, but fortunately, for whatever reason, Cheap Trick didn't do the movie and they got the Ramones. I think it's a much better movie. So I want to go around and find out if you guys were to recast this movie with a real band held hostage in a Nazi bar, who would that band be and what would that movie look like?
Are we choosing these in terms of what would be most entertaining, or is it just open?
I think obviously you want it to be entertaining.
Oh, yeah.
No. No,
are we trying to pick a band that would be likely to survive the scenario?
I'm less concerned about the survival reality and more concerned about which band would be fun to see in this movie. Well, as fun as it can be to watch this movie and still call it fun.
Yeah.
So we're going to start with Tom Plute.
Oh, boy. All right. So this movie stars... Well, we're going to go with the original idea. Stars Wilco. And Jeff Tweedy murders Nazis with his guitar. And then the end, he finds a note on his guitar that will stop Nazis' heart And that's how he kills Patrick Stewart. What's the title of the movie, Dustin?
I am trying to break your body.
Yes.
That, perfect. So we landed on the title.
Let's go with that. I would watch that probably 5 or 6 times.
Okay. Is Jeff Tweedy the only one that survives?
Yes. Because nobody else who knows the other members of the band anyways.
This is Wilco featuring Jeff Tweedy and... You know the real tragedy of this movie is that it's so fucking hard finding a lineup of people to play to begin with. And now Anton Yelchin's character has to start from scratch with a whole new band.
I know, right?
He's probably going to do something with,
and his arm's broken, so he's probably not going to be the same.
Yeah. Well, that's the fretwork hand. He'll be all right. He's a bass player.
Yeah, you don't really need that.
He's probably going to start some bullshit power pop keyboard electronica duo with fucking Imogen Poots' character.
Do you think that he ever talked to that girl again? Or do you think they just like went their separate ways and be like, yeah, I don't know, I don't want to see you.
I'd probably go separate ways.
Yeah.
You know?
She lives in Oregon, he lives in Virginia.
Yeah, it just wouldn't work.
Hey, every time I look at you, I remember about how you were friends with a Nazi who got killed by other Nazis who in turn killed my entire fucking band.
Oh, yeah, and isn't she a Nazi?
Yeah.
She was hanging out at a Nazi bar.
I think she was friends with that girl. I don't know if she was a Nazi or not.
I think she might be a Nazi.
Yeah.
I think
one of the survivors of the movies is a Nazi.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it.
Well, because her friend was trying to get out. Her friend was going to leave with Daniel, and that was what buried them.
Right.
That was the whole motivating factor for the murder.
I guess once you're a Nazi, you can't leave the woods of Oregon?
No, dude. Those guys do not fuck around. Like... And they're
Nazis.
No, the stuff too throughout, like the whole red laces thing that Patrick Stewart kept referring to, like that's fucking hardcore. Like the only way you leave is in a body bag. Like it's very, very serious, very scary shit.
Yeah, I was wondering during the movie how much of this is accurate to actual neo-Nazi culture.
Yeah, the red laces thing is a huge part of that. Like, and it's the same. It's basically whatever their gang initiation is. Like the red laces is like how you earn your stripes, so to speak.
It's really unfortunate because I like buzz cuts, and I like wearing Converse high tops
with colorful laces.
Yes. So I'm glad I watched this movie because I feel like now I know don't wear red laces with a buzz cut on your Converse high tops. Yeah.
Don't do any
I
of
love
that.
Bomber jackets.
Also get that swastika tattoo removed.
That's what that means. Oh.
I just thought it was.
Sorry to inform you, Peter.
Oh, I thought it was a shuriken. I'm sorry. I thought it was just a really.
Do you mean a shuriken?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because shuriken is what Ryu does in Street Fighter.
I thought that was Haijuken.
Haijuken.
Have I been saying it wrong the whole time?
That's the Dragon Punch. The shuriken's the. I think that's the little hurricane kick that he does because Hadouken's the fireball.
I just don't know anything.
Well, I will second that.
All right.
So, Peter, let's move on to you. Who is your casting decision for a band to replace the Ain't Rights in Green Room?
I can't wait for this.
I was going to say Coldplay.
Oh, boy. I vomited a little in my mouth.
Well, hold on. Hold on. I want to hear this pitch.
I just think it'd be entertaining, you know? I just kind of want to watch Coldplay go through this a little bit. I like Coldplay, but I think that could be...
Is Gwyneth Paltrow in it?
Wait, what's Gwyneth Paltrow got to do with Coldplay?
She used to
be married
anymore, right? She used to be married to the singer of Coldplay. I don't think they are anymore. I think they're divorced.
Apple? Their kid that they have together?
They have a kid named Apple?
Yeah.
Gwyneth Paltrow is the Imogen Poots character. Okay. She has a blog and it's insufferable.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Gwyneth Paltrow takes Patrick Stewart's role.
I want Coldplay to go through what what's their name in the movie?
Ain't Rights.
The Ain't Rights. Yeah, I want it, the Ain't Rights go through, and I want to see. I want them to survive, and I want to see how their overall musical style changes from that experience, if at all. My second choice would be the band Tenacious D. I feel that would change the movie entirely.
Jack Black gets his throat eaten out.
I would say you've only got half the members in that band that we had in this one.
Oh, no.
So, there's only two members of that band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true.
The movie might be like 30 minutes long.
So basically, you're just pitching a Tenacious D episode.
Oh. I'm just, now all I can think about is instead of them playing Dead Kennedys, Nazi Punks, Fuck Off to open their set at the bar, I'm just thinking of Chris Martin playing Clocks.
At a Nazi bar?
And all the Nazis in attendance just throwing their bottles, but one Nazi is in the corner like crying because like he really, like he gets it.
His girlfriend just left him and that was their song.
Oh, can I throw in a third?
Yes, please.
I don't want to
monopolize
it. What about the Blues Brothers?
That's basically just the Blues Brothers.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. All right.
You're just recasting this movie with a scene literally from the movie Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah. I, it's been a while since I've seen it. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah. They're behind the screen, the chicken wire.
Yep.
Getting the beer bottles thrown at them.
And they're not Nazis, but they're pretty close. They're rednecks.
It was a rough crowd.
Yeah. They threatened to...
Did you just say, like, rednecks are basically Nazis?
We can edit that out. We're editing that out.
Sometimes they are.
Yeah, I know.
Look, not all Nazis are rednecks, or not all rednecks are Nazis. Whatever. You guys know what I mean.
You're at Whiskey Bear. We try to our best to avoid generalizations.
Yeah, but some people deserve to be generalized. Like Nazis.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There we go.
We can accept that one.
You can put that in print.
we're putting it in audio.
There you go. All right. Hot dog. All right, Jackie.
Well, the problem I had with this game is that my current music tastes are vastly different than ones included in this movie. If you like hit me up in middle school, I would have been like, this is great. But currently, if I had to cast with a music group that I listened to, it would be like ABBA. And there would be more colorful lights and maybe a fog scene in the main dance room where everyone see, I'm even calling it a dance room is how far removed I am.
I would watch ABBA play for a Nazi bar. That sounds great. I would watch that.
Yeah,
for sure.
I'd go there.
Yeah, I feel like Dancing Queen transcends hate.
Everyone can like Dancing Queen.
Yeah.
So that was the best pitch I had. I think it's a majority based off of the Community episode where they feature ABBA as everyone is being attacked by zombies. And I'm like, I can see it. Violence and ABBA. I got it.
That I like it. It's good. Yeah. It's a good idea.
So lift that caveat. Even what if it wasn't a band that you were even, it doesn't even have to be a band that you're into currently or ever been into. I'm curious where your brain went first.
Oh gosh. My brain went first. I don't know why, to the Jackson 5. And then I realized why that was a problem.
Yep, yep.
And I was like, pick a different one, quick.
Wu-Tang Clan. They'd get out of there. They'd be fine.
Yes. So then I thought ABBA was the better choice. So maybe not your first pick. The only other band I could think of, again, because I listened to them, was like Gaelic Storm. And I'm like, okay.
Gaelic Storm.
So, altogether, not my best pitches.
Gaelic Storm. All right, we're going to do Wild Rover again, guys. Hope you like Irish traditionals. All right, here we go. Oh, Danny boy. 1, 2, 3. 2, 2, 3. I have a couple for this.
Okay. Oh.
The obvious choice, it couldn't be done because half of them are dead, but I would just cast the Ramones in this. And I feel like the Nazis would they would be on board with them, but they would just constantly think that like the Ramones believed in the same terrible things that they did. And instead of the Nazis trying to kill the Ramones the whole time, it would just be Joey Ramone going like, no, like I don't hate black people though. Like I don't hate anybody of any race. And then at some point there's a person in a giant hamster costume because Rock and Roll High School is a very weird movie. And then you introduce like a Riff Randall character who is the only person in the world who thinks that Joey Ramone is an attractive man. It's just a very different kind of movie. It's a lot more fun. Clint Howard's in it too.
Clint Howard's
he's the Nazi that that gets the shotgun blast.
Oh no!
Behind the bar. The other band that I came up with was My Chemical Romance.
I knew you would say that.
Specifically, during their Black Parade years, because they just wheel out this conceptual rock opera set. And again, like the Nazis initially, like they'd see the marching band uniform, be like, "Oh, these fucking queers," but then like they'd start playing the Black Parade, and then they'd be like, "Oh no, I get why people like these guys. I get it." And then since the Black Parade's all about death anyway, the Nazis actually become the defenders because the band attacks them.
Oh, that'd be good.
Yeah,
that'd be.
Let's make that.
Yeah,
get My Chemical Romance on the phone right now.
Oh, I thought
I'm sure they're waiting for a phone call.
I thought you meant we take a gig at a Nazi bar and then we try to play
for Nazis so bad.
I need a little. I'm bored in life.
I don't think you're that bored.
I need chased with a machete and dogs.
I can do this.
My other pitch, The Offspring. They would open with Pretty Fly for a White Guy to win over the obvious thought. And then by the time they're four or five songs deep into their set, the Nazis realized that what so much of the rest of the world has already realized, and that The Offspring sucks. And then they kill The Offspring. And nobody leaves the theater disappointed, despite the fact that all the protagonists are dead.
So The Offspring does not survive.
They do not, nor should they. Look, I don't know if you guys have listened to anything since Americana, but man, they really fucking suck. They are not good. All right. Well, that was some fun stuff. We are going to start wrapping up. So we're going to go around. Peter, we're going to start with you. Favorite scene or moment of the movie?
Oh, I mean, saying I have a favorite scene was, that'd be like...
Or a memorable one. One that stuck with you.
What was my favorite tooth that got pulled at the dentist?
I mean, I guess the first scene where he's giving back the gun and he sticks his arm through the door. At the same time, the singer has got the guy in an arm lock, breaks his arm, and then he's getting his arm sliced. It's just a lot of violence packed a very short amount of time.
Oh, yeah. That was the drummer that had him in the arm lock.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
And just stuff like that, especially when it's that visceral, can, you know, affect you. It's like, oh, okay, this is really well done, even though I'm uncomfortable right now. It's affecting me on a deeper level, and I'm not just entertained. So, yeah, that'd be the part for me.
Cool. Jackie, how about you?
I'm stuck a little between two.
Okay.
The first one, I can't exactly remember the scene, but it was at whatever point I looked to my left at Peter, and at the same time, Tom said, "Peter, are you crying?"
He did look like he was going to cry.
He looked at his tears.
They're being really mean to those band kids.
The second, more serious, for some reason it's stuck in my head, it's when the Amber girl comes out from inside the couch.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's really cool.
That's such a badass moment.
Yeah, yeah, that is.
That was, even though she lingered a bit later on and was a little frustrating, the original emerging from the couch was very nice, and that is a shitty couch if she could hide in there and not be noticed.
Oh, no, that's well, she's the also, best Imogen couch. Poots is real scrawny. No.
Yeah, she's a real tiny gal.
All right, Tom, what do you got?
Mine was, I was going to say Peter's, but...
I mean, you can like it, too.
That original arm break, like when they break that guy's arm, and then everything just goes downhill right after that. Like, it goes so quickly. But also, like, I think when... Daniel gets shot in the face.
Oh my gosh.
Because it's like, you know, they're finding the gun behind the bar. It feels like they're trying to make a stand. Like they're out of the green room. And it's like, okay, like maybe shit, like they're going to push back. Shit's going to start going their way. And then that immediately just gets blasted in the face.
Yeah. Like,
it's like, oh, wait, no, they're in trouble still.
Hey, the shotgun's been blam.
So it's just that moment, like they kind of start giving you hope a little bit. And then it's just torn away. It's like everyone starts dying again.
I think the entire movie, like the tension's really well done. Like everything is, it's so fucking good. And like, again, like even having seen this, like watching it, like I still found like myself getting like kind of tense and like my nerves were just on fucking edge.
Yeah.
I think there are two moments specifically. The first one is very early in the movie when the gig falls through and they're playing the pizza place during the day because, man, I have done comedy shows like that where there's like 8 people there and only one of them gives a shit that there's something going on.
Yeah.
So like just seeing that, I was like, yeah, no, this guy must have played in a punk band in high school because he's really captured what this feels like. And then the other moment is the entire kind of when the tables turn for Pat and Amber when they do the war paint guys break in and like he drops down in the drug lab and like there's so little space but like they're so back and forth and it's just super fucking tense. Like that was probably like the most on edge I was the first time I saw this movie was that entire scene. I was like, Anton Yelchin might die. Like I did not know what was going to happen. And even after she came out, like, and cut the dude, I was like, okay, there's still a dude down there with a shotgun.
Right.
And it's just, yeah, it's very well done. I don't feel like there's a single moment, a single frame, a single scene of this movie that is wasted. Like everything progresses, the action progresses to the next thing. And there's no filler. Like if I were to sit down like at an editing table and look at this movie, like I don't think there's anything to cut. Like it's perfect.
Yeah. Mm. It is really well done.
Yeah.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's go around. Let's wrap up. Let's do plugs. We'll work backwards. Tommy, what do you got?
Oh man, what am I doing? That's a good question. I'll be on tour for a week and a half. The Third Wheel comedy tour. I don't have my dates.
Where could people find those once they're posted?
On my Facebook. I will post those on Facebook and Twitter. Tom Plute, @ Tom Plute.
Do you not have a website anymore?
I do have a website, but I don't know if they'll be on there. Yeah, they probably will.
They should
be. I should probably throw them on
my
website.
You should put things on your website.
There's no traffic. There's no point. No, I'm kidding. I'll put them on my website, tomplutecomedy.com.
There you go. Tomplutecomedy.com, the Third Wheel Tour. When do you guys start? When do you guys leave? When do you start touring?
First weekend in March. And then a week and a half after that.
Cool. All right. Peter, what do you got?
I'm touring with you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of busy dates in March. I think, every other day we're doing something?
The first week of March we're on the road. And then we got a weekend tentatively in Michigan. And then a bunch of other dates in towns near to us. You can find those dates listed at thedustinmeadows.com. And those will be up by the time this is out. So,
yeah.
If you're in the neighborhood, come see a show. Come buy 13 shirts from us so we can get rid of all the shirts we fucking bought.
I haven't seen the designs yet, but I'm hoping it'll be sweet.
Yeah, it'll be pretty tight.
Yeah.
Cool. Jackie, how about you?
I believe it was March 28th. At Shadowbox.
Yay!
We are doing the roast of the Disney villains. I will be Cruella de Vil. Dustin, you will also be there, right?
I will be. I will be hosting the show as Captain Hook. and Peter will also be in the show as Gaston.
Yeah. Oh, that makes sense.
I'm very really excited. Good. Yeah, these character roasts are a lot of fun. They're always a blast to do.
Oh.
Yeah, fun times. I don't have a website to plug. I do believe the domain name Jacket Sleeves is available, so maybe in the future.
There you go. Get it. In the meantime, that date will be on WhiskeyBearComedy.com, which Jackie's on a lot of those shows. So
yeah.
There you go. Peter mentioned we're going on tour together. Those will be on my website. Also, we have the Whiskey Bear Comedy Festival coming up in May. The Indiegogo will have stopped by then, but if you check out WhiskeyBearComedyFestival.com, keep an eye to that. There will be instructions on how to buy advance tickets and all that kind of good stuff once the festival rolls around. And I think that is everything that I've got. Yeah. So thank you to my guests, Jackie, Peter, Tom. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening out there in Radio Land. Is that what they call it? I don't know. Who gives a shit? This has been Big Dumb Picture Show, and we will catch you next time.
It's the Big Dumb Picture Show.
Here, wait a minute. I gotta adjust this. It's like
it's okay.
You ruined it, Peter.
I'm making all a whole bunch of noise while you guys are.
This
talking.
Is great.
Yeah, it's great podcasting.
I hope you leave this it part.
We should not cut this. Actually,
let's leave this in.
Peter, you're a fan of bloopers. These are the bloopers.
Yeah. Why didn't Green Room have any bloopers? That's not fair.